explaining Romans chapter 6. Please, in these things, learn to. We appreciate both your hard copy and soft copy Bible. You use the two. It's very good. Especially if you have the one with Greek concordance, Eastward and rest, is very good. This is no longer the age where you say it's only pastor that has access to some hidden dead scroll materials. Some materials from the antediluvian age. No. Amen. It's now in soft copy form. I remember when I was in service here that Greek Bible was when I was up as big as this. So down that we bought them in Zedden. I don't even know where my own is. I think it should be in Accra. So, you can do yourself good. Get with an average Android app, you can get that working. Amen. But at times when I say that a word is not there, you may not. In fact, some of these words, some of them, they are not even in italics. Yet it's not there. You need some stuff like that to be able to see it properly. Don't mind my uncoordinated speech. I will put up soon. Okay, Romans 6, verse 1. Okay, what is there? Can we take it together? One, two, go, everybody. Yes? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Stop there. Okay. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Of course, we all know that it will be a calamity to try to explain that verse without knowing what it was saying earlier. Amen? So, I just want to take Romans 6 very simple for you today. So, don't worry. It will be simple enough. So you can't just start. Anybody that is just quoting that thing in defense of you people, you are pushing grace, you are doing this, you are doing that. That is the very first place to just silence the man. Tell him that this guy is saying something before he got here. Say, what shall we say then? That means I am saying something before. Okay, in reference to what I am saying before, shall we continue in sin? So you must So please get this down. You must rely upon the previous writing to know what the sin means and to know how to continue in the sin. To know what the sin means and how to continue in the sin. Are you with me, everybody? Are you with me, Juliet?
Are you with me? Good guy.
So Romans 5, verse. Let's take it from verse 16. Okay, I'm tempted not to explain Romans 5, so that's why I'm saying I just take this one from verse 15 like that. Okay, 15 says, please pay attention, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one Jesus Christ, as abounded unto many. Verse 16, and not as it is by one that sinned, so is the gift. Who is the one that sinned? In verse 16, that is Adam. It's okay, but not as it is by the Adam that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Who is that one? Adam. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm tempted not to. I didn't want to explain Romans 5. Okay, verse 17. Want to go, everybody? And death reign. Stop. If by one man's what? Offense. What reign? Death reign by what? One. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by. Okay, please look at verse 17 very well. If by one man's sin, right? Death now reign. Now, when we use the word reign means there is a kingdom of death. The word reign means like death is like a king. And that means he had some subjects. There are people in his kingdom. Are you with me? It rained. So it's not just raining over in the blues or in the atmosphere. No, it was raining over men. Okay? So go to verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, came, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. But so that we can get this thing clearly, go back to verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, right? And death by sin. So what is the father of death or mother of death? Sin, right? That means if you are seeing the reign of death is because of the presence of sin. And this sin is talking about the sin of how many? Of one, right? Okay. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 13, for unto the law sin was in the world. What sin? Whose sin is that? One man's sin. What is that one man's sin? Unbelief, right? The unbelief of Adam. Okay? The unbelief of Adam created a nature that was in the world. Created a pattern that was in the world. That is why the default of the natural man is to reject the gospel. It's because the pattern available for him is unbelief. Please just write down that. I may not explain. It's the day that we do a thorough analysis of Romans 5 verse 12 that we'll talk more on that. The default of the natural man will be to reject the gospel because the pattern available to him is unbelief. Okay, let's leave that for now. Okay, and I'll go to verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of that of him that was to come. 15. But not as the offense, so is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Are you with me, everybody? 16. And not as it is by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of what? Many offenses unto justification. If you notice what he has been saying since, he has been talking about the reign of how many sin? One sin. But over how many people? All, right? So he's not talking about the reign of plenty sin, one sin, but reigning over plenty. Okay, let's keep reading. Next verse, verse 17 now again. Yes, let's read together. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Okay, go to verse 19. Yes. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made. Okay, verse 20. Yes, everybody. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Okay, 21. That our sin hath reigned unto. Stop. So what is actually reigning? Sin is reigning, right? So sin was reigning unto death. That means sin was exercising dominion over people to the intent that they die. Are you with me? It's a reign. Huh? Reign, when you talk about a reign, it will involve time. That's number one. A reign will involve, it will involve some activities. There will be communication from sin to man to bring forth death. Are you with me? So it's a reign. Like for there to be a reign, there will be a ruler, and the ruler will be passing information to some subjects. So there is a reign of sin, and the intention of the reign of sin was death. So 21 again, everybody want to go? That our sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Please, the sin in 21 is talking about the sin of who? Adam, which was unbelief, right? So that sin was reigning over men unto death. That means men were under the influence, the canopy, the atmosphere of what? Sin, unbelief. Which and the intention of the sin was to bring forth what? Death. So there is a canopy, like a covering of sin, passing informations unto men to the intent that man should die. Is that clear? So don't forget, when these things were written, it was not written in chapters and verses. So chapter 6 verse 1 was not divided by Paul. So what is now in chapter 6 verse 1? Everybody want to go? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? Stop. Hold on. Stop. Don't forget, he told you that even as sin was reigning, grace did much more abound, right? Now, he's not saying that even though sin was reigning, that grace was just covering the sin. That is a bit different. He was saying, or even in that same reign of sin, grace was available to overcome the sin. That is why even before Jesus came, you saw stuff like Abraham believed God and was what? It was counted for him for righteousness. Amen. So that means telling you that even in the reign of sin, men still had a choice to choose, right? Because even in the reign of sin, grace is abundant for any man that rebels against the reign of sin. So now, he now said in chapter 6, verse 1, everybody, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Rejoice. Let me now ask you, which sin was he talking about? Man? Unbelief, right? Who sin? Adam sin, right? So he was now asking questions that what? Can we be under two kingdoms at a time? Don't forget, he was saying, although sin was reigning, grace abounded. But he's not trying to explain that statement. He's not saying, can you continue under the reign of sin? And yet, you are saying grace is abounding. So, this is my question to you. How can a man continue in the reign of sin? By what? Progressing in unbelief, right? Right? That means by refusing the gospel, right? Are you with me? Please get this clearly. By refusing the gospel, don't forget, he didn't say, see what he said, shall we continue? That means it's something that you have been exercising yourself in before. It has been reigning over you before and you have been accepting his ministration. Will you still continue in your own belief and expect grace to abound? Amen. Okay, now let's go to verse 2. Verse 2 now says what? God forbid. Funny enough, that word, God forbid, is not actually like God forbid in the... No, God is theos in the Greek. It's not... you won't find theos there in the Greek of that God forbid. God forbid is simply like a swear word. Amen? It doesn't really mean that you are referencing God. It's simply saying, certainly not. Certainly not. In fact, the way I put it in my study of that place... When he said, God forbid, he was saying, Okay, I said, God forbid is an expression of a total denier. An expression of a total denier that certainly not. You cannot continue, although grace is available in the reign of sin, but you must leave the influence of the reign of sin for you to what? Enjoy the grace. It's available, but you don't enjoy it until you leave that influence of the reign of sin. That means until you stop responding to unbelief. Are you with me? So that is the simple explanation of verse 1. Let's go. We are going through the whole chapter, and I will be closing. God forbid is an expression of a total denial. So God forbid, what is the next thing? How shall we that are what? Dead to sin. Dead to sin. Live any longer daring. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin. Don't forget now, I said something initially, which I want you to pay attention to very squarely. Sin, yes, is unbelief, but do you know it produces anybody that is receiving, accepting that ministration of sin, that sin bats a nation in him. That is what we call the old man. Are you with me? Praise God. Come on, be responding. Praise God. So, sin as a nation. When sin is being ministered, unbelief is being ministered, and you keep receiving its ministration, it births a nation in you called the nation of sin. Okay, see what he now said. Say, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Now, he now explained in verse 3 how we are dead to sin. How did we become dead to the influence of unbelief? How did we become dead to the influence of the Adamic nature? Although unbelief is going up and down town right now, it cannot affect you. Why? Verse 3, know ye not that as many as were baptized into who? Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Praise God. He said, as many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were what? Baptized into his death. Now, what does it mean to be baptized there? It was talking about identification. Perfect identification. Baptized there is not talking about water baptism. In fact, I will not even use that one to reference Holy Ghost baptism. Okay, let me choose that one for you. I mean, I'll make it a bit clearer. Verse 3, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. That means Jesus' death experience was also your death experience. That means everything Jesus went through, the believer has gone through. Rejoice if you sleep. Amen. Now, what we call salvation can also be tagged as identification. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me, this is John speaking, is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost
and with fire.
So, who is the man that baptizes with water? John. I baptize with water. But the one coming after me, his name is Jesus, he will not have any business to do with water. He too will baptize. Now, get this right. John is saying, I baptize you guys in water. What is it? So as John was baptizing them into with water, what was he doing to them? I don't want to go to the story of baptism, but if you remember in John chapter 1, he said clearly that I am not the Messiah, but I am sent to what? Announce him. How did he say it? Foreigner. Okay, John 1:33. Open. John 1:31. But before 31, let's first read 23. John 1:23 said, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the what? Wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. No, that's why. So 25, they ask him, and said unto him, why baptize thou then, if thou be not Christ, not Elijah, nor that prophet? John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you know not. Okay, and like go down to verse 27, 28. Let me read 27. Please, you read 28 for me, everybody. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes lasheth, I am not worthy to unloose. 28, yes, sirs. These things were done in... when John was baptizing. Now, 29. The next day, John said Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the which taketh away the sin of the world. Right? Okay. Come down to verse 30. Yes, let's read. Want to go? This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, hallelujah. Praise God. So what was the mission of John? To reveal Jesus to Israel. So anybody that was baptized by John, what should happen to the person? That means John should soak that person in the consciousness that a Messiah is coming. It's not about the water. That means John was soaking them. John is not that ceremony. That's not the point now. The real thing is that John was the one sent before Jesus to make the job easy for Jesus. Amen. So, John, if we saw what is water's baptism, an awareness that somebody is coming to take care of sin. Simple. It means you are something is being passed to you. You are being submerged into something. You are being submerged into a message. You are being submerged into, in fact, a reality. So the only reality that John has, he said, this is the lamp of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. So that was John's water baptism. Water. That's all water baptism is about. If you are still going to the river today, it simply means you are expecting a Messiah. You are expecting somebody to take care of your sin. That means you are going to the river and say, okay, thank you. That means Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon to pay for my sin. That means you are still expecting him. That means he has not come, as far as we are concerned. Okay, let me go back to my write-up. So, That is Matthew 3:11 that I was explaining. Now go to Galatians 3:27. So you now ask me, so what is Holy Ghost baptism? Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't forget, John said, I will baptize with water. He will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Die. That is Matthew 3:11. Now, I say Galatians 3:27, right? Let's do this today. Don't worry, just 30 more minutes and we see how fast I can go. But I know it's better we understand this concept, okay? Galatians 3:27. Want to go, everybody? For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on glory to God. So the baptism of Jesus is to what? Put on Jesus. Oh. Is this different from John's baptism? Yes. John's baptism is for you to know that he is coming. Jesus' baptism is for you to put him on. Are you with me? That means, don't forget, every baptism has a message. Every baptism has a message. So don't just focus on what we call water baptism. What is the message surrounding it? Are you with me, children of God? Okay. We will see this message clearly very soon. Let's see another place. Acts 1 verse 4. Acts 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Verse 5, want to go? For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days. Okay. That will mean whatever the baptism of Jesus is, was not even available when he was on earth. It was post-redemption. It was post, not pre, not intra, not during when he was on the cross. That's not, it's not as he was on the cross that people are getting born again. Some people say, he said, if I draw men unto me on the cross, that I will draw. Sorry, if I be risen, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw. I mean, no, it's not on the cross that he draws all men to me. On the cross, he drew our judgment to himself. So it is after his resurrection that you are baptized. See this clearly. Ephesians 1:13 now says, In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you have believed, you are what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Romans 8, verse 9. The B part said, Romans 8 verse 9, the B part said, now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Every baptism has a message. 12 verse 13. Oh, I love this. We read this twice as loudly as we can. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. One, two, go, everybody, dear people. Yes, sir. For as spirit, are we all baptized into one body? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born, all be made to drink into. Again, yes. For by one spirit, are we all baptized into one body? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, we have been all made to drink. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, by that spirit, what happened to us? We were baptized into one body. Amen, amen. So, what is Holy Ghost baptism? Salvation. To be baptized with the Holy Ghost will mean salvation. Because that is your entry point. It is by the Spirit that you are admitted into the body of Christ. By the Spirit. So Holy Ghost baptism, I know that there is a lot of portion in the book of Acts of the Apostles that treated Holy Ghost baptism as speaking in tongues. But no, that was an human account. Acts is like an historical record. You understand? It is not really doctrine like that. Of course, we can extract doctrine from it, but you have to be careful. But because in Acts of the Apostles, you see the evolution of the church. The church was evolving. They were developing, growing in knowledge, growing in understanding. So in the book of Acts of the Apostles, get this clearly, you will find their mistakes there. You will find their errors there. And you will find how they corrected themselves there. Up till Acts 10, they still refuse to preach to Gentiles. So if all we have is Acts 1 to 10, we think that the gospel is not meant for a Yoruba man or for an Igbo man. It's only for the Jews. Until Acts 15, that they now corrected themselves. So it's not really a perfect material like that. I didn't say the Bible is not perfect. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying it's an human account. That means things were happening. And somebody just said, okay, oh, as I see it happening, I write it down. Amen. Come on, I didn't want to tarry long at that junction. So, go back to Romans chapter 6. Verse 3, what is in verse 3 again? Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Now, this verse 3 was now explaining our salvation, our own baptism. That if you are saved, it means when Jesus died, you died with him. It happened to you by the Spirit, but although, see this, so Jesus died years ago, you received the Spirit 2017, but the fact that you received that Spirit is a token to you that the day he died, you are with him. Identification. So, verse 4, let me run. Verse 4, what's there? Therefore, we are buried. Wow. He didn't say we will be buried. He said we are buried with him by baptism into death. That means we are identified with him in his death. That means what Jesus has done, we put it to our own account that he did it for us. Okay? So I can say when Jesus died on the cross, I died with him. Are you with me now? I can say when he went to hell, I was there with him. Amen, amen. Praise God. We speak faith. Amen. Okay, we are baptized with him by baptism into death. Now, it didn't stop there. It now said that, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Don't forget, he used the word that like as Christ was raised up. The same way Jesus was raised up from the dead, also you too were raised from the dead. Amen? So also today we have a new life. We are called new creatures. Verse 5. So I wrote here, I said, it is by the resurrection that we became new creatures. So that means the experience of Jesus. In fact, I love the way Colossians chapter 3 puts it. He said, for you are dead and your life is hid in Christ in God. See, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him. That's Colossians 3, verse 3 to 4. Okay, Romans 6, verse 5. For if we have been planted together, who? In the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Don't forget, verse 5. He was not saying there is a probability for you if you will be in the likeness, in his likeness at resurrection. No. He said, if we have been. That means, provided we died with him. That means, and since Jesus today is not in the grave, that means it's impossible for you to be a dead man. If we died with him, then we shall also, what? Be alive with him. So he's not saying you will be alive in the future. The if was based on if you died with him. If you have been identified in death, because the journey of Jesus did not stop at his death. Therefore, your own journey too did not stop at death. First, say the experience of Jesus. Say the experience of Jesus is the believer's experience. Yes, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That means he's telling you that the man that went to the cross with Christ is there. He didn't come alive. He said our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, to the intent that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. To the intent that we should not be under the influence of the reign of sin and death. So, from verse 1, what has he been talking about since? Nature, your default, your makeup. Are you with me? Flow with me. That is verse 6. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Leave it. Focus. Our old man is crucified with him to the intent that the body of sin be destroyed. That means the reason why our old man was crucified with Jesus is so that body, nature of sin, be destroyed. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Are you with me? He that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Verse 8, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Sorry to say, bad translation. Now, okay, can you spot any difference between verse 8 and verse 5? Look at this. Verse 8 and verse 5. Okay, look at the initial part. Verse 5 started with, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. But verse 8 says, now, if we be dead. Okay. Let me first say the one that is expressed. He said, if we be dead with Christ, provided we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also. Please, in the Greek, that shall is not there at all. If you have a Greek Bible, the Greek word for that, we shall also. Everything there. We shall also. It's just kai. Same word that is used for also. The shall was not there. So, let's read it without the shall. Want to go, everybody? Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Praise God. So, it is not a futuristic reality. It is not a futuristic reality. It is a present day reality. Amen. So, if it's not we shall, we live with him. Okay? Not future. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ... Are you with me? Everybody, flow. Come on. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Oh, hallelujah. See that verse 9 again. This is eternal salvation. Don't you know? Knowing, don't forget, the experience of Jesus is the believer's experience. So it's now saying now that knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Hallelujah. That means what has happened to the new creation is irreversible. The same way, death cannot have a second grasp on Jesus again. Same way, the new creation is immune from death. Immunity. Okay, Why? See verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. How many times? How many times? Hallelujah. So if somebody is saying, well, you are putting on Brazilian hairstyle, you will go to hell. Tell him, I have been there. Amen, amen. Praise God. I was there once and I came out alive. I'm not going back again. Hallelujah. Tell him that for the sin that will come in tomorrow, we have paid it already. Amen, amen. When Christ was doing it, we did it together. Praise God. Identification. Okay, come on, flow with me. For in that he died on the sin once. Hebrews has a lot of once. Go and find them out. But in that he liveth unto God. Now, this is what he's saying. He died, write this down. He died for the purpose of sin, but now he lives to express God. Because he's saying, but in that he liveth unto God. That means the death of Jesus was for the purpose of the annihilation of sin, but his resurrection is to what? Express God. He say he lives unto God. That means he lives to please God. He lives to output God. He lives to the glory of God. Are you with me, everybody? Good. Flow. Okay, this is where we are going. Verse 11. What is the first word that started verse 11? Likewise, he has finished talking about your nation now. About the irreversibility of your salvation. He has finished talking about the unchangeable nature of the nature of the believer, because our experience is connected to the experience of Jesus. Are you with me? Oh, he now said in verse 11, likewise, that means I want to put something else in parallel with what I have been saying since. Are you with me? Likewise, in like manner. Okay, what must you do? Reckon ye also yourself to be what? Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is it saying you should reckon your spirit? No. Don't forget, what has happened to your spirit cannot change. Reckon it or not. Amen. But it reckon means you should account it. That means there is a responsibility placed on you to account your body to be dead to sin. That means you will now put the spiritual reality, the reality of your spirit, you will now superimpose it on where? Your body. Amen. That means you will not treat your body differently from how God has treated your spirit. Follow me. Don't worry. You will understand this as we... So, likewise, reckon you also yourself to be dead. Because, don't forget, at salvation, what you did was to reckon your spirit. That's all you did at salvation. It was to say, okay, everything he did, he did for me. And the new creation emerges. But now, in Christ, your body is yours. Your body is yours. Like, your body does not have control over you. So, meaning that that's done reality of your spirit must be placed in parallel with the action of your body and the response. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Can you see? Are you with me? That you should obey it in the lust therefore. So your body is not stubborn. You can subdue your body because in reality you have been subdued with Christ. Body, soul, and spirit. So you can dictate. Don't forget, the body without the spirit is dead. So man is essentially a spirit. The body listens to the body is walking up and down. Why? Because there is a spirit that is active in this body. When the spirit leaves this body, the body becomes dead. Amen. So Like the way Pastor Jolaemi will put it, he will say, your body, your spirit is the core of your personality. So your spirit is the real, is why you can move your hand like this. If you can perform any activity, it's because there is an active spirit in you. Are you with me? So the spirit is king. Your body has to listen. Okay. Meaning, you can subdue your body. Now, I will explain that. Verse 13. Nelda, can you see this? Yield your members. Members there, members of your body. As what? Instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourself unto God. Can you see this is a responsibility on the believer? Can you see that? He said you should yield yourself unto God. How? As those that are alive from the dead. Because you are alive from the dead, you will treat yourself as those who are already made alive from sin. Not made alive to sin, from sin. And your body and your members as instrument of righteousness unto sin. Okay, please write this down this way. We can do this because it is our default state. We can do this because this is our default in Christ. If you say, I have a stubborn body, if you say, it's not easy for me, it is very easy for me to commit sin, you are a liar. Let God be true. Let the word be true. So a believer cannot say, that is my weakness. A believer cannot say, that is my phobia. A believer cannot say, that is my Adam's apple. No. Achilles heel, Abi. A believer does not have an Achilles. Is it Achilles? Or what is it? Achilles or Achilles? Achilles. Your user is Achilles. It's not Achilles. It is time for Korean Magi. Amen, amen. So a believer does not have a weak spot. If you once they do that thing to me, I just cannot take it. You are a liar. You are a believer. You are reckoning a wrong thing. Let's go to that thing. Spirit control temperament. I didn't know who sent the guy. That book helped nobody. He simply puts people. The book is to make you as. Is to make you accept stupidity. Although I know at the end of the book, the man wrote that, well, you can change if you want to. That you can. After he has spent time. Who remembers that change? Why do you ever remember? Me, I'm choleric. If I flare like this. See my grandma. Anytime he's angry, they have to offer sacrifice before he comes down. Hey, I was in the airport today. One lady was flaring. You want to check his wife? She never. Her eyes was on fire. When we now got into the body, I was looking for her. Not to preach to her, just to look at her. Hey, Atare. As in, everybody was just dumbfounded. Challenge everybody. Madam, you can't carry your laptop in. Mr. Man, that is my laptop bag. That's my, Yeah? I know. That's what I'm saying. Bring out this one. No. That is my personal property. And the plane is not a personal property. That's what she said. Praise God. And imagine. I know some people are talking at my back. He said, well, I don't like sitting close to the window because I have a phobia for height. I was saying, this is one of what she's talking about. You are in the plane already. So the fact that you are not by the window. It shows you are on the floor. I'm just saying, people just, because somebody like that, she has overcome the phobia already. She's already flying. You haven't that. Yet you are still saying it. I don't know, I don't like sitting close. No, go and drive by road from where to. Praise God. So we don't acknowledge rubbish, amen? Come on, let's finish this so that we might go. Verse 14 now. So I said we do this because it is our default state. 14. Everybody want to go? For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Not under the law, but under grace. You see, people say grace is what makes people sin. I say it's the opposite. Amen? Why? If you look at Romans 5 verse 20, he said, moreover, the law entered that what? The offense might abound. That means the law came to make sin to make it sit down. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. What's there? Check. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. 55. Oh, death, yes. Where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Okay, yes. Read the next verse. The sting of death is what? And the strength of sin is? You are looking at my face. Am I sin and death? The sting of death is sin. And what is the strength of sin? The law. So Romans 8:6-14 now said, sin, the reason sin will not have dominion over you is that you have been delivered from that law. Because Paul is now in verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, sorry, 56. And the strength of sin. But thanks be unto God who has given us victory. Hallelujah. See, I have the victory. So back to Romans chapter 6. For sin shall not have dominion over you, verse 14. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen, amen. So verse 15 now. Okay, everybody read verse 15 for me. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. Stop, everybody. What is the difference between verse 1 and verse 15? Read it. This is what people don't get. What is the difference? Yes, Brother Joshua, you are saying something? Verse 1, nature, yes. The what? The conduct. No, verse 1 is, shall we what? Continue. That means something you have been exercising yourself in before. Which, and if you look at Romans 5, what humanity was reigning over humanity was what? Sin of Adam, unbelief. Amen? So, that is what you must not continue in. But verse 15 is now saying, shall we sin? That one is now your own direct action. So, a lot of people that quote Romans 6 verse 1 to say that it's verse 15 that they actually ought to have quoted. Amen? And there is, the explanation is there. Let's see it. Don't worry, this is just the only chapter we are doing today. The day that the moon will be smiling on us very well, we look at Romans 7. Amen, amen. That one is strong. Okay, so verse 16. Know ye not that, see, oh, to, please, see verse 16 carefully. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, is servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto Again, verse 16. Don't you know? No, verse 15 is saying, what then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. But God forbid. He said, don't you know that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, is servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What is he saying? Is he saying if a believer yields himself to sin, now that he will die? No. Quickly look at verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Hallelujah. So salvation is you yielding yourself as a servant of righteousness. So if they ask you, how can a man yield himself to sin? You yield yourself to sin by continuing in unbelief. So he's saying, Romans 15 is now saying, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Ah, he said, don't you understand that you have already yielded yourself from Romans 6 verse 1? You have disconnected yourself already from the reign of sin. You have disconnected yourself already from that reign of sin. You have already, he's just saying it is too late. Why? You are already a servant of righteousness. See what he's saying. Now, I want to explain the next. Verse 18. Being then, everybody, verse 18, yes. Verse 18, yes. Being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. Hallelujah. Say, I've been made free from sin. Say, I'm a servant of righteousness. Now, verse 19, you must be very careful. Wife, are you with me? Are you with us? Good. Sabuki, are you with us? Okay, good. Let's see this 19 carefully. I speak after the manner of men because of what? The infirmity of your flesh. Stop. The same way, so that the Jews can comprehend what Jesus was saying, he will use a parable to explain spiritual realities to them. That means he will use something that is not really true to teach them something. That means he will use a communication pattern that is actually inferior to the message he was about to pass. Amen? E.g., there are some words that in Yoruba, if I tell you to translate it to English, you can't. So we'll just find nearest in meaning. Amen? Okay, now said, I speak. Now, that means if we see a young believer that he has not come to comprehend all this. Okay, now say we can speak to him in a way because of the infirmity of his flesh. Infirmity of the flesh, there will mean his understanding. His slowness of in understanding. Okay, what did he say? For as you have yielded yourself servants to uncleanness, to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. That means if I'm telling you now that Juliet, hey, ensure you do the right thing. Hey, ensure you don't steal. Hey, ensure you don't tell lies. I am not lying. I'm not saying what is not right, but I am using a weak communication pattern. It is not a finite, it is not the total truth about you. It's okay, let me speak after the manner of men because I'm addressing a man so you can just understand. See, the same way you yield yourself then to smoking, to weed, to Igbo, to then. Now, in Christ, yield yourself, come to church, do Bible study, do prayer meeting. But that is not your reality. See the way I put it here. So if we tell a believer to stop doing this and that, giving rules, if I come to church and I'll be telling you that, hey, don't steal, don't lie, don't do this, it is a weak communication pattern that doesn't carry or express the true spiritual reality of the believer. So, to be doctrinally correct, to be biblically correct, and to be true to the new creation, we don't tell her not to manifest the fruit of the flesh. Rather, I will say, you cannot manifest the fruit of the flesh. I will tell you that, hey, you cannot steal. I will say, hey, you can never commit fornication. I will say, hey, you can never lie. Oh, is that her? But she did it yesterday. Shut up! She can never. Reality. I say, hey, you have the fruit of the Spirit. Love is in you. Peace is in you. Patience is in you. That the communication of your faith will be effectual, not when you avoid the bad things in you. Amen. It is when you acknowledge the good things. So, how do we... So, to be true to the new creation, we don't give people rules. Don't forget, Paul himself said, because of the infirmity of your flesh, I am telling you to yield yourself now to righteousness. But in reality, you have already yielded yourself to righteousness when you believe the gospel. So, what I will simply tell you is that I will tell you who you are. That means you will enter a brothel, get a lady born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you will tell her, ha ha ha, guess what? Do you know your sins are just forgiven like that? In fact, funny enough, maybe you still come back next week, you see me there, say, how are you new creation? You are just righteous, just like that. She say, glory to God. Say, I trust the word of God. And this is how God changes people. Not when I come to church. 52 rules to be a decent Christian. That is not even speaking after the infirmity of the flesh. That is invoking old creation. Let's finish so that I can go to my house. Amen. Praise God. Okay. So I said to be doctrinally correct and to be true to a new creation, we don't tell her not to manifest the fruit of the flesh, but rather we say you cannot manifest the fruit of the flesh. You are filled with the fruit of righteousness. We acknowledge every good thing, not evil. Verse 20. See what he now said. For when you were, past tense, right? The servant of sin, you were free from righteousness. 21. He's not asking. He said, what fruit, what result are you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed for? For the end of those things is death. Now from 22, 23, now see reality. This is what I now call God's communication pattern. This is how God will address a believer that is not perfect in his conduct. 22. Want to go, everybody? Yes, sir. But now, being made free from sin, you have become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory. Say, I'll be made free from sin. Say, it is constant. I am a servant of God. I have my fruit unto holiness. I don't manifest the fruit of the flesh. And my end is everlasting life. This is God's reality about me. This is my confession for myself. I appreciate the word of the Lord. I say what is the asset concerning me. I don't acknowledge the old creation. I am a new creation. I speak of things that are in me. Good things are in me. Glory! Amen, amen. Pray in tongues, everybody. Pray in tongues, everybody. Pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you don't like shouting, my baby. Avalaste gevande da da rasa da da. Tal sovela liza de de. As I now say, for the wages of sin is death. Say, for the gift of God. But the gift of God is what we have, eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we have been made free. We speak to ourselves the way God speaks about us. We say it genuinely. We are genuine to ourselves. We don't lie about our character, about our identity in Christ. We are genuine. We are genuine. We are true. We are true. We are true. Kalamadisto vapati kerozi balandio sopati kasi voli boli rosigi vipa pitatei. Just pray 1 more minute. We'll be done. Mina se pileo se potiste conte komanda so vidao a yegende de popa tati toka stogi voli raste yembe ketito la base pilare stogi pele mandendo papati shatilemo sopilero stegetilemo zopilero stegede ele mbroche malemo nemo zobala bala bala katse ke pale masto ke pile maso bele anyede ala base ke pile mo sopilero stegetilemo zende makati ala raste ke pile mo yente de Ye palas to gepile zopile zopile rost to gepile mozo shatida koste gepile keste gepile rost to gepida akaste gepile rosto gepile mani in the malamosa in malerosho ketrenja malamosa katala makati ye po palas to gepole malamoso palas to gepole malamoso pile osha in malamoso gendata thank you Lord Jesus mantati zopati tota tata papandi kero se gepile reste oh mapalazo ta oh thank you Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Say, I know how to address believers. Say, I address them as sons of God that they are. You know what he says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 16? He said, know we no man after the flesh. See, even Christ, we knew him after the flesh once. But now, we don't know him after the flesh again. Say, for if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Praise God. Can I stop recording? Thank you. Oh, Labasto, Bante Badiza. Glory to God. New creation. New creation. New creation. All things pass away. You don't talk about old things, for all things have become new. Amen, amen.